Broadcasting live from the Fort Recovery Radio Studios in downtown historic Fort Recovery, Ohio, right next to Tin Man's, it's time for some sports talk with Bubba and Fee. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Bob Stogler and Mr. Harold Feely. Sports talk with Bubba and Fee.
Hey, Fee, we're on. Coach Patch, you here?
I'm here.
We're running a little late, but what a great cause. Bill?
That was a great cause.
What a deal. You know, that's awesome. Makes all that...
Christmas giveaway.
It is. A Christmas giveaway on Fort Recovery Radio. Gives away 1,150 smackers, donated money to great causes.
Tremendous.
Hats off to Willie and the boys getting that all lined up. We are here, Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee, Wednesday night in studio. We got a full house. We got Billy sticking around. We got Dave Kalp in the house.
Kalpy in the house.
We have the head ball coach.
The main man.
For the Fort Recovery Lady Indians, Brian Patch, coach. How you doing, bud?
Good, Bubba. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Let's just get right to the old meat and potatoes here. Pretty good start for the girls.
Started out 4-1. Actually, for first game, I don't think everybody knew how good. I think Walpock's pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I think they're going to have a pretty good year.
Yep, I agree.
I think also, we didn't play very well being our first game and a home game. I think we had some jitters.
But, little jitters.
We got better as the seasons went on, but we'd like kind of have that one back. But same time, it's kind of a mental note for our kids, because hopefully, we always tell them we hate to lose, but if you're going to lose, hopefully you learn something in the process. And I think that we've definitely learned something in that game, and we're constantly bringing it up to them, and they understand that we, maybe lost something, an opportunity in that game to get us off to a good start. But like I say, it was kind of a motivation for us ever since then, and it's been something we've been bringing up constantly with them. So hopefully it will serve purpose throughout the rest of the year. So
good deal.
Got a little feedback there.
Worked out pretty good, because you've been 4-0 since.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Not too bad.
Yeah, no kidding. Talk a little bit about your team, coach. You lost probably your best player, Tori Leonard, last year. Went on to play Saginaw Valley. You come back, you have some returning starters. You got a couple young girls. Talk a little bit about your who you have back and the positions.
With our seniors, we have Kendra Seifring. She is, I believe, second team all-conference, returning for us. I think she's going to be a three-year varsity player as well. Caitlin Hillscamp is a senior, ended up tearing her ACL first day of practice. So she's out for the rest of the year.
That poor girl.
That girl did not catch any breaks.
I've not seen her healthy in her whole high school career.
I've never seen her off crutches.
No.
That poor girl's on crutches constantly.
Unbelievable. Sweet girl, too.
Oh, yeah.
Smart as a whip. So, and then the other one is Michaela Post, Bertha. She's a senior as well. So those are our three seniors. Two of them are obviously able to play for us in our top eight rotation. Junior-wise, then we have Whitney Will, Jossie Kaiser, and Audra Metzger. Audra was off the JV team last year, up to play with us. And then Whitney and Joss played varsity for us last year as sophomores, returning for us. Both of them were starters last year and starters this year for us as well. And then we have sophomores. We have Carly Stone and Grace Tenn and Kaya Wendell. And then those Grace and Carly were starters off and on. Grace was last year full time. Carly kind of brought her up halfway through the year, and she ended up starting some games, playing a lot for us as a freshman. And then Kaya came up off the JV bench for us last year, and then is now playing for us. So that's kind of our 8-man rotation. So,
Coach, this is your second year coaching girls. You made the switch a couple years. I guess last year you made the switch over to girls basketball. What's been the biggest? What is the biggest challenge there? I mean, is it X's and O's kind of the same? Is it? Talk a little bit about the difference in the guys and the girls, and basically the understanding about. I know one time you said it's a girls get it faster than the guys do as far as offensive, but talk a little bit about the switch over.
Well, I think some of it is the girls they don't watch as much basketball, I think, growing up as what the boys do. You know, the boys, I think, live with in the gym and live in watching TV and sports. And, you know, if you were going to ask, you know, a lot of the boys, you know, who are sports-minded kids, you know, about a game last night, they were probably watching it. You know, girls usually don't do that. Part of it is girls are probably studying and doing homework where the boys aren't doing that.
There you go.
You know, we have six top our juniors and seniors are eligible for the National Honor Society. All six of our kids made it for the girls that were eligible. So six out of six. And, you know, for the boys, we were lucky if we ever got one.
Whoa, Cody Feeling?
Usually it was Pig, and usually it was Greg, and Jared.
Brady Colic.
It was usually a colic. Yeah. It was usually a colic.
That's it. 32 girls and one boy.
But, you know, so I think some of that, you know, has to do with that. You know, the girls are just usually doing the work or doing some other stuff. You know, they're not maybe into it. I know Coach Hubbard, always, you know, he makes the comment. He thinks that there's just not as many role models for girls to watch, you know, that are maybe well-known. As what the boys are, you know, everyone knows who LeBron James is. I remember one time, it was a couple years ago when LeBron was coming back to Cleveland. We were at a youth camp, and I said something about LeBron. LeBron's coming home, and a couple of kids were like, "Who's LeBron?" I thought, "Oh boy,
here we go."
Yeah, but anyway, you know, there's just some differences. You know, the speed and athleticism. I mean, you watched the game last night with the boys, and Coach Vaughn and I made this comment. You know, with our boys team, I don't know if I've ever seen a boys team, and since I've been here, as athletic as what we have this year. Yeah. I mean, it is the most athletic team I think I've ever seen. Staying around watching practice a little bit. I mean, you got kids flying all over the place. Their bodies are just look tremendous. They're well put together athletes. And I think that's the biggest part of it, is just the speed, the athleticism is the biggest difference as far as boys to girls. You know, the girls have to do a little more execution and running stuff because they can't get by quite as much on their athleticism as what boys could, you know, as far as that goes. But
how's the emotions? Like you rip a girl, rip a boy.
Well,
boys usually just kind of shake it off a little bit. I'm thinking the girls probably there's might be a little tougher.
That's probably the hardest part, actually, for me. I mean, you know how intense Coach Vaughn and I are when we're in games, and you guys sitting on the bench and could hear it a lot. You know, it's close since we're all on one team on that bench there, Fee.
Yes, sir.
But I'm not sure you got me more texts almost, or not even I got one, but close to getting one. You and Bubba or Donnie. But anyway, you know, that's you don't have to yell at them as much. You just got to let them know you're disappointed, and then they take it to heart a lot more. You know, you just raise your voice a little bit, and you know they think you're mad at, and the world's collapsing and ending and all that kind of stuff. So they want to please you more too. And when you give them, you know, criticism or constructive criticism, try to correct them. You hear thank you a lot. You know, for the boys, they weren't saying thank you.
Thank you, Coach Pash.
Yeah.
Cody, you didn't get out.
Cut it. Thanks for yelling at me, Coach. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you yelling at me, Coach. You know, I really needed that.
Yeah, those are just some of the minor, I mean, some of the differences you have. And, you know, we still try to treat them the same. You know, we get on them a little bit. Practices are pretty intense. You know, we have high expectations for them and how we expect them to perform. And so... You know, just from that standpoint, you know, we still deal with them kind of the same as we did the boys. So,
you come into this season, and we all, we talked in the off season, and we always throughout we talk about our girls basketball, and we knew we had a pretty good team coming back this year, and we had, I mean, I was disappointing some of the girls who didn't participate, and a girls basketball as a whole. The numbers throughout girls basketball in the state seem to be dwindling.
Down.
And is it it's got to be a concern to you as you look throughout your program and see the junior high with eight girls and your freshman team's got
none,
and then your JV team's got six or seven. I mean, that's got to be a concern. And it's not just for recovery. Delphi St. John's didn't have a JV team.
Yep. Well, Berlin Highland, think about all the success Berlin Highlands have. They have no JV team.
Yeah.
They have just a varsity team at Berlin. And of all places, I mean,
the mecca of girls basketball in state. Yeah.
They're at state every year. Who would not want to be a part of that? And,
right.
And you know, for them to have no, I think they only have like 10 kids, 10 or 11 kids. And, you know, this is a conversation everywhere we go with every coach that we had scrimmages or games. You know, this conversation comes up, you know, just with being in the second year, being with the girls, obviously this is a new situation. And, you know, we ask our girls, you know, at the start of the year, you know, what's going on? You know, what's the issue? You know, and basically told them, you know, in the locker room, you know, feel free to say whatever you want. Nothing's going to be held against you. You know, we're just trying to figure things out. You know, and we kind of had a little heart to heart, and you know, it was just basically, it was, you know, as they saw it, is this is just how it is. And yeah, you know, talking with a lot of the other coaches, some of the things they thought, and if you look at it, it's just, I mean, it's part of the times changing. I mean, you know, if you look at the court, you know, for example, a lot of our kids, you know, are more playing volleyball right now than basketball. But, you know, if you look at the court from that standpoint, it's a lot smaller, a lot less area to run, a lot less area to cover. You know, from basketball, to be able to play, you got to be pretty good to be able to do a lot of things. You know, in volleyball, you can kind of specialize a little bit. You can, you know, if you can hit the ball really hard or you can dig in the back row, whatever, you know, you got three spots you got to play. You know, in basketball, you know, talking with St. John's coach, who's been around a long time and had a lot of success, you know, in part of the reason, you know, they had, you know, 11 kids, 9 kids, something like that this year. And he said he had kids quit because they said, well, I can't shoot. And he said, well, how much time you put into it? And their comment was, well, I'm not putting time into it. That's too much work. Right. And he said, well, then, you know, it's a skill set. You got to put time in to be good at it. Well, if they couldn't shoot and they couldn't score, well, then they didn't see that as being fun. So then why do it? And it's just kind of a, you know, that's kind of, you know, I guess the situation is, if to be good at anything, you got to work at it. And if kids don't want to work at it and spend the time doing it, well, then obviously you're not going to have that success. So,
and that's we're lucky because what we have, our junior high teams are just absolutely really good. Mm-hmm. Very many numbers down there, but yeah, I don't think anyone's lost. The seventh grade has scored about 50 points every game, I think. They got a real nice team. The eighth graders got everybody over 6'8". and luckily, what we have in our program,
we got the good ones.
We have a lot of good players. And yeah, and it's
you can look at it as a good thing or a bad thing. And you know, when we talk with our parents, obviously the bad thing is just from the numbers of, as far as injuries and things like that go. If someone were to get hurt, practicing a little bit somewhat tough. You know, junior high, it's easier because they have 7 and 7 kids and they can practice against each other. But the positive part of it is you got a lot more reps in practice, a lot more chances to play in games. And the kids you have there want to be there. And, you know, for me, that's the most important thing is, you know, a lot of times out of those, you may get 12 kids, but how many of those kids really want to be there? You know, some of them, they're just there because their friends are there, but they're really not going to invest any time into it. You know, their parents want them there. But and also, they're probably really never going to invest that time to really get good, to even have a chance to play at the higher level. So the kids you have there now are the ones that really want to be there, and they want to play, and they want to get better, and they want to have success. And that's part of the reason why we've had, I think, our fifth or seventh grade team's 5-0, and I think our eighth grade's 4-1. They lost by 2 and, against St. Henry. And, you know, the year before they get beat by 30, and here they are, you know, tied going in the last minute of the game. And so, you know, they improved at that level. And you know, our freshman, our junior JV team is basically a freshman team with, you know, all freshmen and 2 sophomores playing against some older kids. So, yeah, you know, hopefully they continue to get better. And, you know, even on our varsity team right now, I mean, we're playing 3 sophomores, which, you know, it's 3 of our top, you know, 8 man rotation is still fairly young with a lot of experience back. So,
probably the worst thing there for you as a coach, and I'm sure all your junior high coaches and stuff too, the tough things with no numbers is it's probably hard to practice, isn't it? I mean, you got about 5-on-5, and you know, you try to work your plays and stuff like that when you got 8.
Well,
people.
The junior high, it's a little easier because, you know, they have 7th and 8th grade, you know,
they
go
just do
against
it
each other. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I mean, you were there with Block doing that,
yeah,
with the boys, and you know, you guys practice together a lot, and
yeah,
that's kind of where they're at. You know, they just do everything together, and the good thing is it makes the 7th grade better because they're never going to see anyone as good as what they are every day in practice,
right,
against our 8th grade. You know, going against you know, 2 6-footers and, you know, some kids that can shoot and dribble and handle the ball and all that kind of stuff, as good as where our 8th grade team is. You know, that gets them better. So,
right,
you know, that helps them out. And then our 7th grade plays really hard, really scrappy and get after it. And so that's, you know, even though they're maybe not as big, but that still helps our eighth grade out just because, you know, some of those kids, yeah, makes them work a little harder. And then plus, you know, even when you're going against, you know, your first five against your second five, there's still a drop off, you know, at some of that level. And, you know, if you got your top tier seventh grade kids, you know, they can push the eighth graders and make them, you know, make just as competitive and just as good. So.
Hey, we're gonna take a little break here, pay some bills, and we'll be back with Coach Patch, talk a little girls basketball.
Patch is just a great interview guy.
He's a good guy.
He, you can tell he's done it before.
He's done her.
Yeah, you're an old veteran.
We'll be right back. Bubba and Pete.
I'm dreaming of a purple Christmas, just like the ones we used to know. Boy, I wish I could sing better. Let us at the Purple Post make your dreams come true. From jackets to socks and everything in between. We're your Indians gear headquarters in downtown Fort Recovery. Open 7 days a week for your convenience. Go purple or go home. The Purple Post, downtown Fort Recovery.
Hi, this is Ann Guggenbiller with Wayne IGA. Christmas is just around the corner, and maybe your extended family gets together earlier. We have many of the traditional fixings on sale throughout the month, but we could save you some time. Order a specialty deli tray, including meat and cheese, fruit and vegetable, or maybe you need a roaster of delicious hot deli chicken. Give us a call at 419-375-2865 to place your order. That's 419-375-2865. While you shop, earn bonus tickets on participating products for our Game of Life. No purchase necessary, and every ticket is a winner, because we understand that this community store is your store. Traditional service, historical value. Shop Wayne IGA in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio.
In downtown Fort Recovery has been serving lunch specials for over 17 years. A homemade lunch at the right price of just $5.25. Specials include Mystery Monday, meatloaf and twice baked potatoes on Tuesday, roasted chicken on Wednesdays, lasagna on Thursdays, and our half pound cheeseburger basket on Fridays and Saturdays. If you haven't heard, we have an endless soup and salad bar offered on Fridays at just $4.95. Get your fill without breaking the bank. Can't get out of the office for lunch? Call in and we can have your order ready for pickup in no time. When you're hungry, think Tin Man's in downtown Fort Recovery.
Here are the upcoming sports broadcasts on Fort Recovery Radio this week. On Thursday, the girls host New Bremen, JV game at 6 with the Fort Recovery Radio broadcast team, and we will simulcast WPGW's coverage of the varsity game with Rob Weaver and Jeff Hobb. Then on Friday, the boys travel to New Bremen with the JV game starting at 6:30. Both the JV and varsity games will be broadcast by Jeff Hobbs and the Fort Recovery Radio broadcast team. Saturday, the Indians boys host Jay County. We will be simulcasting WPGW's coverage of the JV and varsity games. This week, Tuesday, the boys host Arcanum, JV at 6. Thursday, girls host New Bremen, JV at 6. Friday, the boys at New Bremen, JV at 6:30. Saturday, the boys host Jay County with the JV contest starting at 6. As always, all those games can be heard live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
And if there's a man upstairs, he kept bringing me rain. But I've been setting up
prayers. Hey, who is that?
This change, I think I finally found my hallelujah. I've been waiting for this.
Everybody says he brings into a Christmas song.
Nobody likes Christmas music, Bob.
Are you stupid?
I hate it.
You don't like Christmas music?
No. Why? Wait till you get a little older there.
106.5, Chuck. That's all I play right now.
106.5.
Only when Adele comes on, okay?
Who sings this song?
Andy Grammer.
Andy?
Jerry
Grammer.
Andy Grammer.
Never heard of it.
I like the song, though. It's got a little beat to it. Hey, we're here, Bubba and Fee, back from Sports Talk.
Yes, sir.
Running a little late tonight because of the insight ran a little late, but it was a great show and a great cause. And we got Coach Patch up here now and got him on. And we got some, we're getting some text messages for some questions for you. And we're going to shoot some questions at you. But first, let's talk a little bit. We talked a little bit about the program as a whole. Coach, you got it. You had a good team coming back. Goals?
You know, for us, we set as a team, and, you know, obviously, you know, we had some high expectations coming in this year. You know, we talked about that already a little bit. But, you know, for us, we haven't really sat down and talked about a number of wins we're looking at or what we want to try to achieve. You know, just talking with the girls, you know, we want to do as best as we can. You know, obviously looking at the MAC race, you know, they want to win it. And, you know, we want to go as far as we can in state, you know, hopefully in a tournament, hopefully and play our best at the end. You know, hopefully, you know, just like every team wants to, they like to be able to have a chance to win a state championship. You know, a lot of people talk about that as a goal and want to try to achieve it. Hopefully we have the potential to be able to do that. You know, we'll just have to kind of see that how that goes. But basically just take it step by step. You know, that's something, you know, you and I have already talked about a lot. You know, every opportunity we have out, we just have to be able to improve and practice and in games.
Well, if you can get that league down, that's usually a pretty good start for going to state.
Well, you know, that's what, you know, that's tough. For us, you know, in basketball, you got to win 7 to 8 games to win a state championship. And, you know, that's tough to do, to win 7 or 8 in a row.
Sure is.
And, you know, we talked about it with the girls already this summer a little bit. I think, you know, even with the boys, I think it was harder to win a MAC championship than it would be, I think, a state championship. And not that winning state is easy, because we haven't done it, but it's just, you know, to play in the MAC conference, you have 9 games you got to battle every single night, and you're playing some of the best teams, the best coaches, and the best venues in the state of Ohio. And so when you go to play on the road, you know, those are tough games no matter you're playing. And so you got to bring your A game on those nights, you know, Friday nights or Thursday night, to be able to win. And if you don't do that, you're going to get beat. And, you know, in a tournament trail, you know, just like last year, we didn't play very well in our first game, but yet we played Lima Perry, and, you know, we win by 50 or whatever it was.
Win,
and,
yep.
You know, now to super sectionals, if you're really good, you know, you can get, you know, in a sectional game. You know, we've seen some of those teams, you know, around the state that have super sectionals, you know, and they don't play anybody to a regional final. Now, we're not lucky enough to be like that around here, because just teams are just too good. But, you know, in some areas, you win 1 or 2 games that are tough, and the rest, you know, you win by, you know, almost 50 or plus, and then now all of a sudden you're playing at a chance to go to state. But I say, for us, we don't have to do that. You know, we got to play a tough, you know, tough game, you know, usually, you know, in that sectional championship and districts and so on, with a new sectional, a super sectional format. But, you know, I just think it's, you know, as a goal, you know, every time out, you know, we want to be competitive. We want to, you know, have a chance. You know, that was one of the comments I know, again, mentioned it with you, is, you know, I always want our teams to be mentioned in the MAC as one of the top teams, and, you know, not just be a kind of a one-hit wonder, just have one good year here or there. We want to be consistent and be a state-known team, you know, that everyone talks about when they start talking about, you know, basketball. Well, Fort Recovery is going to be good, and, you know, just locally and from a state level, that's the kind of program we want to have. So, you know, those are our goals, and those are, you know, things we try to work on and shoot for. So,
well, Coach, you bring a great point up about our program. And I we've always had a good girls basketball program, but I think that this year we take Walpock, they play them here. They have a really nice team. They brought a ton of fans over. Mm-hmm. We go to Delva St. John's. They have their pep band there. We are everybody's big game. We go to Riverdale Saturday Herald. They had their pep band there. That game was huge for them.
I mean, they wanted that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and we're going to take everybody's best shot. You're exactly right as far as we got a caller. We got a special caller. We're going to take it real quick.
Yeah.
Who we got there?
Hello, Bubba.
Hey, what, hey, is this Ricky? What are you doing up?
I'm still up listening to you guys.
Okay, if you're listening, who's our guest tonight?
Brian Pack.
All right.
You
betcha. How's it going, Choppers?
Pretty good.
Good. Why are you not asleep?
I can't sleep.
You can't sleep?
No.
You got anything you want to say to Coach Patch?
Win.
That's all you got to say.
Just win, baby.
Yep.
That's all there is to it.
You going to talk or not?
He's tired.
The funniest thing that I have seen over here was Dan Smith throwing that Christmas ball, and it broke.
Whoa,
Smitty.
Smitty.
Did you tell on him?
Yeah.
He threw it off the tree, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, who? Hey, who hooked you up tonight?
Huh?
How'd you get on?
I did it.
You did it by
yourself? I did it, and the Cleveland girl did it.
Yeah, the Cleveland girl.
The
there.
Cleaning girl or the Cleveland girl?
Cleveland.
Cleveland girl?
Yeah.
Are you in your room, or are you?
I'm in my room now.
All right, your roommate's gone, ain't he?
Yep.
So you got the place by yourself?
Yep.
You're the main man. You work hard today in therapy?
Yep.
Atta boy.
Atta boy. We got to get you working, right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Tomorrow I got it from 9:20 to 10:50 or 10:30.
Okay.
And then I got it from 10:35 to 11:05. Then I got it from 11:55 to 1:05.
Woo! They're working you tomorrow.
And then 1:05 to 1:30. And 2:45 to 3:00.
Oh my God, poor
kids. That's 6 a-days.
They're trying to kill you.
I know.
The football guys only do 2 a-days.
I know.
Hey, but we got to get you working because we want to get you home, right, big fella?
Yep.
That's right. Because we're going to get you here for Christmas.
Yep.
We're going to try like heck to get you over here, ain't we?
Yep.
That'd be big.
Well, thanks for calling in, big fella.
Okay.
Good to hear from you, Ricky.
See you, Ricky.
Yep. See you guys later.
All right,
later,
Jobbers.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. Okay, bye.
Oh, wait.
Yep.
Oh, wait. See?
Yep.
How can you not love that guy, man?
Oh, he's a hoot, ain't he?
Oh, man. Yeah. Does he love Fort Recovery Sports?
Yeah, he does. Ooh. Yeah, he told me. He said he's listening tomorrow night. I'm listening tomorrow night, he said. He's fired up. Getting back to what we talked about as far as what everybody's taking their best shot at us. And we can expect that tomorrow night with a very good New Bremen team coming in here.
It's going to be a big one.
Yeah, it is. They're really good. They have a real nice player, a sophomore, Paige Jones, a 6-foot sophomore.
She's only a sophomore?
Yeah. She can do everything on the floor. I think she probably averaged around 15, 16 or so points a game. She can shoot it. She can put the ball on the floor. And, they have a real nice team with her, go along with some other players. Clooney girl that can shoot it and handle it as a senior. And they have some nice inside players. A Paul girl that about 5'8", 5'9", that's her absolute workhorse. And kind of a blue-collar girl that plays really hard. So, I know they've watched us on huddle and stuff, so... they'll come in and be prepared, and it should be a good game. But kind of to your point, we go up to scrimmage Ottawaville this summer or this fall here, and talking with Dave Kleiman, who's their head coach, who's been around a while and had a lot of success. He comes at me and he goes, "Well, we told our girls this is going to be one of the the three favorite teams to win state." And I told him, "So I'm not sure about that." And he said, "Well," because "that's all I'm hearing about you guys is from, that's what teams up here are saying, is you guys are going to be one of the favorites." So, like you said, we've been in, I think, 5 games already. And besides our own, I think you said they've had 3 pep bands already there. And, you just don't usually see that stuff for girls' games.
No, you know.
And, good crowds. And, because they know we have a pretty good team coming. So, that's fun and that's enjoyable and it's good for our kids. So.
Yeah, we the Riverdale team, they had everybody back from last year. They have the coach's daughter's a little guard who just a little spark plug.
Yeah.
And that was one of the funnest games because, we don't like to sit here and complain about officiating, but we took a shaft that game.
Mark Hubbard says in his all these years of coaching, which has been a lot, he said that's one of the top 5 places, or top 5, he said, home jobs he's seen in all of his coaching career.
So we shot 0 free throws, and they shot 18.
Ooh, that hurts.
Going into that game, too, we've made more free throws than our opponents even attempted. So, obviously, we attack the basket, and we get to the hole a lot. And we couldn't, besides being cut, bloodied, and injured on the floor, they weren't calling
fouls. They weren't calling
nothing. No, they didn't. But that was a nice win, and that game was the Indians down by what was we, Coach?
We were down to 8 with about 3 minutes to go. Ended up down, I think it was about 3 or so with about a minute or so. Audra Metzger took a big charge call, and then we were able to come down. Gracie Tin, who hadn't shot the ball all game long for some reason, decided to come out and have a big fourth quarter and scores 12 points. We run a set, try to get Kendra the ball inside, and it doesn't work. She kicks it out, and Grace hits a 3 to put us up 1 with about 25 seconds. And, again, another phantom foul call, but they miss hit 1 free throw, miss another, and we have a chance with it tied and come down the floor with about 10 seconds. And You know, the good thing you talk about our team is, you know, we drop an out-of-bounds play, and we have our 6'2 post player bringing the ball down the floor for us. You know, in girls basketball, not too many people do that.
No.
You know, our option one was for Witt. Our second option was for Kendra to bring it down, and, you know, she's able to dribble down the floor and kick it to Grace, who's wide open on the wing, because her man collapses off of her and comes over to try to stop Kendra, and she kicks it to Grace. And, you know, Grace was fortunate enough to hit a little 15-footer, so.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a guy here to toot your horn, but we won that game because we outcoached them. Seriously, the end of that game, that lady, their coach, just absolutely did everything that you shouldn't do.
Did wrong.
For us to have a chance to win that game. They only had 3 fouls to give with 30 seconds left. So they foul. They make 3 fouls real quick, okay?
In about 10 seconds or less.
So now they got 6 fouls, and we still got the ball to bring up, and they can't foul us because we're going to shoot a 1-on-1.
Yep.
Instead of waiting until we got the ball, I mean, it was just, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, lady, you did it.
You may get some mistakes.
And then Patchy runs, you know, we run a play where, you know, I have no idea what Kendra was doing, but she broke it. She brought the ball up at the time, found Gracie, a nice bounce pass, and Gracie buries a 15-footer in. And it was just a team that knows how to win.
Yep,
wins a game they had no business winning, and it was a fun game. I enjoyed winning it because, like you said, we did not get one call the entire time, and walk out of there, and we were pretty ecstatic afterwards.
Well, it was funny because we had our pasta party tonight, and the Metzgers and Wills was fixing supper for the team, and we were up there talking with them, and. Angie Will made a comment. She said, you know, the girls made a comment afterwards when someone went to the boys game. I'd never seen, you know, Coach Patch so mad and in a matter of seconds be so happy. and I said, well, you know, that's because,
that'll do it.
You know, that's because, you know, I was frustrated with how the game was going, not because of how we were playing. I thought we played pretty well for the most part.
Just couldn't catch a break.
Yeah, we would go in there and we'd get clobbered and there was no foul, and all of a sudden we miss a shot and you think, okay, why are we missing these shots? Well, when you got 2 people hanging on you and hitting you, and you know, you're going to miss some stuff. And it was a frustrating game and against a good team, and that was the bad thing because it was 2 good teams, and it was just the officiating didn't let it play out.
That's
but,
right.
But, you know, that's the part that just was so happy because it was like, you know, those are games you don't want to lose because come seeding time and things like that, I just didn't want that to hurt us. And that was what was going through my mind was, okay, this game's going to cost us, not because of how we played, but because we were getting hosed. And and that's the part that made me mad. And when we hit that, you know, the shot, when Grace hit that shot, it was just like a little bit of relief. And it was kind of like, you still couldn't get us.
Thank you,
know,
you baby.
Because they are D3, we are D3. We could easily play them again.
It'd be a regional game. But
Yeah.
Hey, I'd say bring
it
on.
And it didn't seem to me like that, and not really knowing what to expect, I didn't think that their fans and their players and their coaches were in on that, what the officials were or were not doing. Maybe they were, but it just didn't seem like, hey, the players didn't say, hey, rub it in your face when they didn't get a when we didn't get a call. It just didn't seem like they were in on it.
No, but, I'll
tell you what, you don't normally see 18 free throws and none.
No, I mean, the coach is a good coach. We've known her a little bit. We played this summer and some stuff and shootouts and things. And she was actually one of them who told Dave Kleiman from Monoville that we were going to be really good. So she knew what to expect. And and like I said, they came here last year and they were, you know, great team and great program and a great coach. So you know, she had no involvement. But just beforehand, you know, you watch officials. They always come up to the opposing team, the opponent. You know, the road team. They always go to first. Those guys all went over to the home team first, and the last guy said, hey, we got to go over here first to the opponent. And the one in the front said, look, and I goes, oh, really? That's how you do it?
Well, I've never seen 93 of the guys.
And we look at each other, and before the game even started, Vonnie goes, oh, no, this is not good. You know, when the head guy always goes first, the head official always goes first. And so when he goes, oh, that's how you do it. Like, it was his first game he's ever been involved in. It was just like, oh, no, this is not good.
What a great school.
That was a nice setup.
Yeah. I mean,
out in the middle of nowhere.
No man's land.
No man's land.
And it would be great because it's, you know, like I say, it's a D3 opponent. It's a quality team. The bad thing is, it's a 2-hour drive.
Yeah, that's right.
But
road trip.
We scheduled
them next year.
No, we're done.
Okay.
They just wanted to do 2 years, but we scheduled it with the idea. You know, Mr. Ramel did with the idea of. He thought, as he looked at the schedule, that that's when Saginaw was going to be at Findlay.
And two birds with one stone.
Yeah,
yeah.
The idea was, is they played here last year, then next year, you know, this year we go up here, and we go there, and we were trying to get the game for around 11 o'clock, so then that way we could play the game, and then be done, take the kids out to eat real quick, and then go to Findlay, because it's, you know, it's only like 10 minutes away, and then go to Findlay, and then watch Wade and Pig and Tory play.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the idea of it, was just make a whole kind of big day of it, and then, you know, the before all that didn't work out, you know, the hope was to have the boys team come up as well, and then, you know, we all kind of go to, you know, the boys and girls game together, and just kind of watch it as a basketball program, and that was kind of the idea, but they flip-flopped the GLIAC schedule around on him, and kind of took away our
kind of screwed up your idea.
So, yeah.
That'd be a good day. So in the so D3, I mean, that's got to be maybe an easier road, possibly. I mean, will you get less max teams? I guess that's the biggest thing. I mean, we talked about that before. I mean, you for us to get to a regional, you normally have to be at least two, maybe three MAC teams. You know, and now with a D3, maybe you may not run into quite as many. I just feel like, you know, it's a mindset. When we go into teams, when you got to play the Minsters and the Marians and the, you know, the tough teams, that is a tough thing to do. But when we go in and play a team like that, Riverdale, you know, we're not intimidated. Let's bring it on. We're ready to play. So, I mean, is that you got to be feeling pretty good about being in D3, I think.
Well, to be honest, it's all kind of new. I mean, one, I just get into the girls program. You know, I spent a lot of time this summer trying to figure some of this, you know, who's been consistently good, you know, in Division IV and trying to figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our summer schedule, I mean, is always top-notch. We always go try to play the best teams. And even in our scrimmages, we try to find the best teams.
Correct.
Because at that point... It's just a learning experience. It's, we're trying to get better, and you know those losses don't count against us. And so, you know, we're just trying to find the best teams we possibly can to challenge our kids to see how good we're actually going to be. And you know, we played some really good teams this summer, and you know, I was just starting to try to figure that out of Division IV type teams, and all of a sudden they come out to schedule and
your Division
find
III.
Out we're Division III. And I thought, well, I kind of screwed that up, but. You know, so from the standpoint of, you know, the whole super sectional and, you know, we still don't know who goes where in the tournament trail and, you know, as far as alignment goes, but...
our sectional was in Walpock?
Well, right now I think it's Bluffton and Walpock and our district's at Elida.
Right.
So, but again, I mean, like, none of those things are concrete, and that's the thing is, you know, they've been slow to get everything out, so it's been kind of hard to figure out, okay, who actually goes where, who would you be lined up with? So, one, it's new getting into the girls. You know, I was just starting to try to figure the D4 thing out in 1 year, and I said, now we go to D3. So, now to try to figure out who is, you know, the powerhouses and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, there's teams going from, like, you know, OG, who went to state last year, was in D3. They go to D2. LCC, who's a D3, goes to D4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've been consistently a powerhouse. So, it's kind of like, you know, trying to figure out, okay, who's all actually where. Because teams have been, you know, going up and down, and so just trying to figure the whole landscape out is right now. It's still a little trying. I spent, you know, the other day actually going through and looking at all of our opponents in our district sectional possibilities, looking at all of our people in our regional matchups and stuff. And so I've been trying to figure that out, do a little research on some of those teams,
sure.
So we could, you know, make, you know, try to figure out, you know, where we could be at and who we'd play and things like that. So. Trying to learn as much as I can, but like I say, it's just an ever changing landscape right now.
Right,
I'm just trying to
get your feet wet, trying to figure it out,
trying to put my hands around it.
I just figured you figured like back in 2011 when they did get to state, you know, we ran into Columbus Afrocentric, who was a good team, but those teams that we played in Evergreen, we played some other teams that were, I mean, they come in with a 26-0 record or whatever, right. And we pound them. You know, it's like, come on. But I feel like, I think that's going to be a good thing for you, I hope. I mean, I'm thinking so anyhow.
I definitely hope so. And you know, just, I mean, we experienced some of that with the boys as well. And, you know, I think we've joked around that before with you and I, is, you know, we've had pretty good records in Division I over the years with the boys years. you know, I think looking back, we were probably 80% winning percentage higher, and probably 80% or higher in Division 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
And Division 4, we were probably about 55, 60%. You know, it was just the Division 4 teams around here, I think, you know, are sometimes better.
Absolutely.
And better coached, and, you know, just as good as athletes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So
let's take a break here. We got to pay some more bills. We'll be back with Coach Batch, talk a little bit more about the girls' program. Be right back.
Right after this.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from BBI at K&L Tractor. The BBI Endurance line of litter spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. Their Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come in and see these remarkable spreaders from BBI today. At K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Everything is going just great, then. Or,
you're doing a great job, Jenkins, but you're fired.
Some things are unexpected, but one thing we always know, winter is coming. So plan for what you know is coming and get a Reasoner Energy Furnace Safety Checkup. For only $79, you can get a thorough inspection, uncover any problems, and get expert advice from the area's most trusted professionals at Reasoner Energy. Plan for what you can, and good luck with the rest.
Honey, you better sit down for this.
Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Visit the 47-acre campground at Rossburg Acres. There are plenty of permanent and short-term camping sites available with water and electric hookups. Call 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 to make your reservations. If you are planning a party or a get-together, there are two large shelter houses available for rent on Sundays. One of these is sure to meet your needs. Make sure your reservations are in advance by calling 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 or visit RossburgAcres.com.
The 11th annual Fort Festival of Trees is going on now through December 31st at the Fort Recovery Public Library. Stop in and check out all the theme decorated trees and wreaths, then vote for your favorite. Fort Festival of Trees going on now at the library through December 31st. Stop in.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one.
I love Christmas.
Most.
One. Take it away, V.
Time of the year. With the kids jingle belling.
I bet your little Rugrats are fired up, ain't they?
Fired up.
We've watched Home Alone 1 and 2 at least once a day since the last month.
That's awesome.
My kid, Emma, who's 3, says, I want to watch Buddy the Elf.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy, oh, that's awesome.
I mean, she's repeating Buddy the Elf, which I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Well.
And we watched the Christmas, you know, story. Stella's talking about shooting your eye out. So,
nice.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, we're just, oh, yeah, it's constant with us.
Love it. Love it. Me and Fee, I'm just going to take, we Friday night, me and Big Fee.
Yep.
We headed to Greenville to watch the swim team.
We hit the swim
team. We went to the swim meet. Me and the big fella did. And we stayed an hour.
Yeah.
Remember, I watched the first intermission.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
So you watched two laps? No, it was.
We watched.
Unbelievable.
Supporting Cowpie, right?
They not take a break. As soon as somebody's out of the water, boom.
Somebody else gets in.
They do not screw around.
Was Boos there?
Yeah, Boos was there.
He helped us out a little bit. We weren't sure what we were looking at.
No, we had no idea. Perry Hall was there.
Perry helped us out a little bit.
Perry's a champ.
Yeah. That kind of shows thing. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and Spencey, we are going to figure out a way to do a swim meet.
We need to do a swim
meet. We're not going to do one of the long ones.
No, we'll do a short one.
Perry was talking about that a year ago, and he said, well, we can do some of these, but the 1,000-meter or whatever, one of those long ones, as he said.
We can't do that.
Nobody has enough words to fill that.
Me and Fee and Perry got to announce it because
Perry's Perry. On the announcement.
Well, Perry, Perry will be the play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
And me and you will just
Perry, be yep, I see
we'll do our commentary.
If Perry ain't there, we are out.
Yeah, that's because, a great-looking swimsuit.
Yeah. Okay, this one guy, it was nice. I'm glad we went down.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun.
And left arm, right arm, left arm, right arm.
And our girls won.
Our girls won. The boys did good.
Boys came in fourth.
Yeah.
They only got four guys, and they ain't bad.
No, ain't bad.
They work pretty hard.
That's pretty good. I was glad we went down.
That's a good time.
We're back here, Sports Talk, Wednesday night, Bubba and Fee, before the big game, New Bremen at home. Coach taking on, who's Bremen's girls coach? What's her name?
Him.
Who is it?
Chris Burden.
Chris Burden. Who was the girls coach, or who was, there was a girl coach in there, wasn't there?
I had no clue.
I think so. Chris Burden, huh?
Now we're looking at,
oh, Jesus.
I would have to think, New Bremen?
My wife.
Top three? In the MAC, top four?
Well, right now, Minster's 3-0, and us and Bremen are both 2-0, so, and everyone else has at least one loss, so.
It's a big showdown.
So it's a big game, yeah, right now.
It's a big showdown. And
let's get a big crowd there tomorrow night.
Yeah,
that'd be dang big. It, I'd like to, I want a 50-50, $200.
Well, that'd be big. That was last night.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I think we can get them. New Bremen's going to bring a lot of people because
they know they got a pretty good team.
They're struggling a little bit in all their sports, so they'll follow a winner.
The boys' side.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
they
know they have a good team.
Yeah.
And
we owe them, too, because they kicked us last year over there. We had no business losing that game.
No, we were better than
That was one of our worst losses. Not that they were bad, but
no, right.
I thought we were better, and we just didn't play well.
We didn't play too good over there, did we?
All right, I got some questions here. I've been getting some text message here, Coach, so I'm going to fire them away at you, okay?
All right.
Don't answer them if you don't want to. Because there's a couple of these are pretty good.
Which means bad.
Yeah. What coach do you respect the most and you try to emulate? You got one out there that you looked at growing up and said?
Well, the...
Don't say Bobby Knight. He was, too.
No.
No.
The coach that probably had the most influence on me was my high school coach, Jim Black. And he was a college coach my freshman year, just came to Jay County. Kind of came in, and I was, treated us almost like college kids. And, it was tough, but it was good. He just was kind of a father figure for me. My dad had passed away when I was younger, and so he kind of stepped in, and someone I kind of looked up to and admired, and treated us with respect, and yet was tough on us, demanded a lot out of us, and expected a lot out of us, and just really got me, I think, involved in the coaching part. My senior year, I had some health problems, and so I couldn't play anymore. And so he kind of already started allowing me to help coach a little bit, help him out with some stuff, breaking film down, and just different things like that, to really get involved in the coaching. And that's kind of where I learned a lot of things. And then when I graduated college, then I went up, when we moved to Chicago, that's he was up there. And so I went up there for 3 years and worked under him again, 3 years as an assistant coach to him, and just learned a lot, how to run a program and how to coach and how to run practice. And as a player, you don't think about that stuff because you're just going through the practice and kind of dreading practice and another grind. But, just to learn a lot from, just the coaching aspects of how to conduct everything was, I think I learned a lot. And so I think that's the guy who probably influenced me the most. So
you brought your family here to Fort Recovery, and then you bought a house in Fort Recovery, and you've been here for how many years now?
03 or 04, so actually it'd be 13, because we came here with Lightning. Olivia was like 6 months old, so
okay, so 13. So and you've grew to kind of, without a doubt, Fort Recovery's your home.
Absolutely.
And the people of Fort Recovery really like you, and a lot of people in Fort Recovery worry about your health, and you had a health scare here during the summer. And talk a little bit about how you feeling. Is everything, because people worry about you. Yeah. And I'm sure your wife's over there saying, "Brian, you dumb shit. We got to worry about." Talk a little bit about your. And I don't want you to go into detail, but everything's good, feeling good.
Yeah,
Decker good.
Yeah, so far.
We won't.
As long as I stay on my meds, I'm fine. I had a heart ablation in September, and that is hopefully going to cure the problem and the issue. And so I'm on blood thinners and heart meds to keep my heart regulated and blood thinners because I have blood clots.
So Riverdale game's not good for the old ticker.
As long as they come out
it got a lot of exercise.
That was the test, I guess, to see if it worked or not. That was kind of, I guess, my fear was, that was my first concern when I started having health problems about 4 years ago. And there's been times this summer before I had the heart ablation. I mean, it was bad. I just didn't leave the house, couldn't move. I mean, I was tired, wore out. Getting up and walking around the house, I was completely exhausted. And, that's kind of tough to do. I mean, not that I'm that old, but, when you can't really go out and do things because you just constantly wore out and fatigued and just don't feel good. I constantly tell Annie and, it just doesn't feel right. And she always gets fed up with that being a nurse practitioner. She's like, well, what does that mean? You don't feel right. Well, I just don't feel normal,
Right.
And it's just hard to figure it out. But ever since I had the heart ablation done, now I felt great. And that was always a concern, was would I still be able to get a coach or not? And that was one of the first questions I asked the doctors 4 years ago, and because I was worried about that. And they always said, yeah, as long as it doesn't cause any problems, you're allowed to do that. And so if it's going to be an issue, then we'd have to stop. But, Annie always constantly tries to remind me once in a while, don't let things get to you. Don't get so stressed out. Relax a little bit. And I think it's been somewhat good for me because, it's not a life and death situation. It is just a game.
Right.
But yet, same time, you want to put it all, everything you have into it and try to, get the best experiences and all that out of it. But, that with just stuff that's going on, you realize if you do get beat, it's not the end of the world. Life's going to go, sun's coming up tomorrow.
But it's a lot of fun winning, dude.
Oh, it is, for sure.
You're built like me, man. You don't want to lose.
No, yeah, that's for sure.
That stinks.
But just to try to keep it in mind. I mean, that's something I've tried to watch out a little bit, is not get too excited and try to be a little more even keel. Just because that's kind of in the back of my mind once in a while.
Absolutely.
Of the health situation.
So, Coach, now this is, I knew you pretty much on the boys' side. Now I haven't been with you as much with the girls, but I was impressed in the boys' side. You always were down in the young programs, and I mean, I remember watching you first and second graders. I mean, we had first and second, third and fourth, fifth and sixth. I mean, it was incredible how much time you put in and did a lot of work there. Is the girls' program the same way? I mean, are you starting up the girls that young, or you wait till they get to third or fourth, or is it or fifth and sixth, or how's that been going for you so far?
We do third and fourth is where we start with the girls.
Okay.
We don't go as young as first and second, but we do. I run in third and fourth grade. Lauren Day actually helps out with me with that, and she and I run the third and fourth grade. We have some of the other players kind of come in once in a while and help. Do some skill stuff with them.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, on Monday, you'll see them out there in between the half of the Van Wert game, I guess, the following Monday on the 28th.
Yep.
They're going to be out there playing in halftime of the JV varsity game. So they'll be out there doing that. And Tori Vaughn also helps doing that as well because she kind of wants to get into coaching. So I've kind of tried to help her. So I kind of started helping me out a little
bit.
It'd
be great for her.
Yeah. And so those two help me, and we do third and fourth grade, and then in fifth and sixth grade, I just don't, in the boys, I was really active and involved, and mm-hmm. I've kind of taken a step back with that a little bit, towards the end of the boys, doing it a little bit for various reasons, but for the girls, it's just kind of hard because I'm at the junior high games with my own kid watching her play and now doing all of our stuff with the high school. And then now Daniel's getting up to the point where he's playing. So now trying to go with him and watch him.
I understand
that. So it's really hard, I guess, to be actively involved too much in it.
So do you get yourself some coaches there in the fifth and sixth grade?
Yeah, actually I have Sam Kanapke helps doing that. Crystal Rammel helps.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sarah Post will help. And then Val Forkamp also helps. So those four.
Good people
and all past players. And that's kind of what I did with the boys.
Yeah.
I had like Ross Wendell and Tyler Wepker and Ryan Stockler. I had, you know, Cody and Greg and Michael. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys all kind of helped out at the younger levels at various points because, you know, they're invested into the program. You know, they put a lot of time and effort into it. They want to see it succeed more than anything else. I think you saw that with the football program this year with all the success. You know, the guys that were most excited were the past players.
You know
that with Cody being in there on in the sidelines and things. And so that's what we tried to do is get the kids to, you know, the past players to kind of hopefully try to come back and help us out. And that's something we've tried to stress with our kids is, you know, you see it a lot in the older levels with the college ranks and stuff, but try to get them to understand it's more about, you know, than just yourself and, you know, try to give back to your team, your program, your community mm-hmm. and stuff. And, you know, if you're going to live here and be a part of Fort Recovery, you know, come back and try to help the kids out. That's something that you can do to be part of the community. And the value of it is give back to your community. And the best way to do that is help the youth.
And it's something you like to do too.
Right. You know, you get a chance to help have them help learn the game of basketball, try to get better. And it's also going to better the program that you are part of and hopefully have success in it. And, you know, the past players are highly involved and care about the program because they were a part of it. And so, you know, that was, you know, something we tried to do.
Sure. I just feel like, you know, at that time at the boys program, I mean, that was just, and I really didn't think about because your kids were little at the time. I mean, you were carrying kids around and little babies, you know, and following Code and Greg and them. And, I mean, I appreciated everything you did for me and my son.
Harold's always loved you.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's always been a big
guy. He's a good guy. I'm a big Brian Parrish fan. Yeah. But I think he did it the right way. And I think hopefully he's going to do that same thing on the girls' side because I think it will pay off. It'll always pay off at the end, especially when you get involved down there. Because I think at that fifth and sixth grade level and the third and fourth grade level, when they see the big man come in, that's pretty neat for them. I mean, I've always seen those kids' eyes light up a little bit, you know, when the head coach is there. It's like, wow, this is big. You know, this is something neat.
The main dog.
The main dog's in the house. You know, this is neat. So hopefully you keep that up, and I know it's going to be success on that side too.
Talk a little bit about you and Vonnie's relationship, Coach. We watch you on the sidelines. He does all subs. He don't even talk to you, but I mean, that's just something you say, you sub, and if I don't like it, I'll tell you, you made him. How's that work? He's been with you for
6 years, maybe.
Okay.
I think his first year was Greg and Cody and those guys' senior year. So I think 2009-2010, I think, was his first year. You know, that's the thing. I've been really, really blessed with great coaches over the years. You know, right now we have, you know, Mandy Mullenkamp as our seventh grade coach. And again, another Fort Recovery alum coming back and working at the school and does a great job down there at that level. And you can just tell, you know, we had the kids this summer as eighth graders because Chelsea had some knee problems. And so we stepped in and ran the practices for them. And you could just tell those kids were well coached. They knew exactly what they were doing. Yeah. And that, for me as a head coach, that made me excited.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, okay, you know she's doing a great job down there.
Things are getting done right away.
Yeah, things are going to be exactly the way you want them. And eighth grade coach, we have Chelsea Rogers, you know, who was college basketball player, our head volleyball coach. Obviously, she knows how to do things. She knows what, as an assistant coach, what you want done and knows her role as an assistant coach and does a great job. You know, this year, then we have Mark Hubbard back as our JV coach. He was with us for the boys for a few years, and then he's our JV coach now. And then Vonnie and I, like I say, have been together since 08 or 09 and 10. But, you know, Jeff and I just, he knows exactly what we want done. Like I say, he's been together. The only other guy that's been longer actually would be, you know, Bob Leverett and Dave Blockberger, the only ones that have been around me longer. And, you know, I go to practice once in a while, watch the junior high, and, you know, Block's still running all of our same stuff and same terminology. And, you know, I could walk into practice and kind of take over because he still does a lot of the same stuff we do. And, you know, and Bob was the same way, you know, with a lot of that. And it's just one of those things, I guess, the chemistry part of it. Jeff does all of our substitutions. He's been doing that. You know, that was the thing I've kind of always just told him, you know, I don't have time to do everything in the game. So you kind of, you know, you kind of see that. You know, being a head coach himself for a number of years, he understands his role and understands what to do. He throws ideas out constantly. Sometimes I use them, sometimes I don't. But, you know, we just have that good relationship together where we're constantly, you know, right beforehand today, we were watching, I was watching film, you know, huddle on the phone here, and we had about 10 texts, you know, back and forth about some of the things we saw, watching more film and bouncing ideas off each other, you know, why Bill was on the radio, Dan and them. And so it was just one of those things, you know, he does a great job, knows what, you know, he knows the game plan, knows what, you know, our strengths and weaknesses are. And I feel very comfortable and secure of having
a little bit of a bromance.
Annie thinks so.
A little bit. I know, because she just texts me that.
During, she says that all the time. Shelly says the same thing. During basketball season, we probably talk to each other more than we do our own wives, but, and that's probably why our marriages are strong. So, yeah. You know, like the one game I was sick and didn't coach at, you know, Jeff took over at Menster when we were I was the boys' coach a few years back. You know, there wouldn't be too many people I'd allow to do that.
Yeah.
I would have showed up, but, you know, I had confidence in him to be able to step in and take over and you know, not, you know, drop a beat with anything with what we were doing. So, yeah, he does a lot of the stuff as far as, like, say, substitutions. You know, he knows our game plan. He knows, like, say, our strengths, weaknesses, and he knows everything. So it's, you know, I let him deal with all that. He does some of the sets. You know, I kind of coach the defense. He kind of coaches the offense a little bit, deals with some of that, and, like, say, personnel. And he'll look over and say, hey, who do you want? You know, he'll throw some ideas out. Hey, I'm going to do this. You all right with that? And, you know, probably in our, you know, whatever that's been, 6-7 years, we maybe only yell at each other once or twice while we've been out there. So that was an intense
game. You guys got in a fight. Who'd win?
I'd kick his butt.
You'd kill him. Okay, I'm switching gears, okay?
Okay.
I got a text message here. This guy wants to know your thoughts on Common Core.
Well, as an educator, one, you know, I'm doing what my school board and, you know, administration tell me I have to teach. From a social studies standpoint, which is what I teach, and Common Core didn't affect us at all.
Didn't
it? It was in language arts. It was a science, and it was a mathematic thing. So from the standpoint of in social studies, we really don't have any Common Core testing involved in it. It doesn't get tested at the level I teach. And, you know, from the standards, our standards have been around forever that we've had, and it didn't change at all in my area that I teach. So I really wasn't involved in Common Core as far as the changes that they've had. So
didn't bother you any?
No.
Good deal.
So we got, I went up to the, actually, I thought we played the Marion game. I thought you looked really good. I thought we played pretty well there. You know, we came off of the Walpock game, probably a little disappointed, but we didn't play bad. And ever since then, I think we've played pretty darn well. And you've got two MAC wins in there. Delphus not very good, I don't think, but.
But it's still hard to win at the Vatican.
It's always hard to win up there, absolutely. But it's a big win. That's what's going to make tomorrow night huge. I mean, I think a MAC win tomorrow night would be a big one. We need that. I think if, you know, I think you got to be looking at New Bremen and Minster as two teams that are going to be tough for us. And it's like Bobby said, we got to get a big crowd out there tomorrow night and have that home court advantage. And hopefully we get a W.
Well, the one thing that's been great about this year and all the sports is our senior class is tremendous, and they are
tremendous.
They support each other really well, and every once in a while you'll come through as a coach and you'll see, and it's just a great group of kids. And one of those groups of kids was probably, that reminds me a lot of this group of seniors, it was the 09-10 season. The boys were always at girls stuff, the girls were always at boys stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there was no bickering back and forth. It was, you know, we are Fort Recovery, and they supported each other tremendously, and they had a lot of success in that group. And,
sure
and,
did.
And I mean, that's a fun group of kids to be around. And this senior class is similar to
that. Same way.
Yeah. You know, the girls, we changed our whole schedule around, you know, to go watch the boys play football and the tournament run. And, you know, that was fun. We talked about it a lot in practice and that kind of stuff. And we were talking about who's going to the games and, you know, all that kind of stuff, where they were going beforehand and stuff. And that was just a great environment to be a part of. And then we show up at our games, and, you know, and it's great to see the boys there, you know, the football players, and then also the basketball players now being there to support the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the girls are always, you know, the seniors are always in the front row at each other, and that's just a fun thing to be a part of. And when you get a group of kids that, you know, support each other like that. So, you know, our student section will be good again tomorrow, and it'll be nice to have a great crowd. And, you know, the girls work
hard. Fee will be behind the mic. I'll be playing too.
I'll be loud.
Yeah, so it'll be loud. It'll be a great game, and it's nice because the girls have worked really hard, and you know, they deserve to have a good crowd and have some success and fun. And hopefully,
well, we had a nice crowd Tuesday with the guys' game.
We sure did.
And we've kind of figured, you know, that's not going to be all that tough a game, but it was the first home game. But you know, this is a big game for the girls. We should have at least that many people there. We should have a big crowd for the girls.
I agree with
game
you,
tomorrow.
That'd be nice.
How about
this important game?
Question: top most memorable moment as a coach so far in your career?
Probably the most memorable moment would be winning my first district and going on and playing in regional was probably the most.
The New Bremen game?
The New Bremen game. Alice Garkey took a picture. It's in our basement right now of me screaming, kind of about actually like the Riverdale game.
Yeah, right.
Kind of the other day. And it's down in our basement. She gave to me, and I think Michael's graduation, and that was one of my gifts from her, and that's in our basement hanging up, and I thought that was really cool. And it was just one of those things. I mean, like Harold said, I had those kids down. My first year here, those kids were sixth graders, and they're playing at Bluffton in a scrimmage, shootout, whatever you want to call it, in sixth grade. And I didn't even know where Bluffton was. I thought there was Bluffton, Indiana. And here it was Bluffton, Ohio. And so I had Olivia packed in, and Annie was working. And so
I took Olivia
up there and had her in a diaper bag. And I think probably Kim or Lynn or someone helped hold her a little bit while I watched the game. But, you know, that was a special group of kids because I was around those kids ever since, like I said, since I first got here in sixth grade, and that was a special group to me. And you have groups like that as a coach that you're kind of attached to for various reasons, and that was one of those I was kind of attached to and was fond of and still have a relationship with a lot of those kids on that team. So just to kind of start from sixth grade going all the way up, knowing that we had a chance to go to the Elite Eight and then, you know, go play Dayton Jefferson, you know, who has two guys, you know, one playing in the NFL, one playing in the NBA.
Yeah.
And knowing that we had a chance, you know, again, if, you know, Greg doesn't foul out, which was bogus, you know, having a chance.
We're still playing.
Yeah, still in the Final Four. And, and you know, that was probably the most memorable thing, was just knowing it was kind of like a relief thing that we finally got there. We kind of reached that point, you know, winning that first district, get over that hurdle. And then, you know, just in the locker room, you came to the locker room after that game, at the Jefferson game, and there wasn't a dry eye in that thing, was there?
Oh, it's balling like a baby.
Myrtle.
And the other thing about that is those seniors on that this year's team were our managers that year. And I have a picture of me coaching those kids in our basement as well, and that is another special group of kids I had. And so for those kids who were our managers, they were in there and experienced that in the locker room. And, you know, I couldn't get through at the end of the year. You know, you always kind of talk about, you know, when you lose in there, talk about the game and all that kind of stuff and wrap it up. And, you know, I was bawling. And that's, you know, sometimes, you know, as a coach, you're the season ends and, yeah, you hate it when it ends, you lose. But, you know, as a coach, that was one of those years. I mean, I just bawled the whole entire time. And, you know, it was just because it was such a fun group of kids. It was just a special group. And
Harold and Kim still ball when they watch
you. Oh, yeah, we ball every time.
Yeah.
Anytime. Every time I go pick up Coach Patch's vehicles to service them, I got to go in the garage, and he's got the team pictures of all, like, 09, 08, all those kids I know. I cry every time I get in there.
Kim Feely, every time she hears a...
I got a feeling.
Black Eyed Peas. I got a feeling she starts bawling. Yep. Just wipes her out.
Kills us.
Coach, I want to thank you for coming up tonight. Coach, I know it's been a long night for you, and you big game tomorrow, and we've been on here for an hour and a half. And you big fans right here. You know that.
Yes, sir.
We've had a lot of fun, and we're going to continue to have a lot of fun.
We're going to keep it going.
Let's kick some butt tomorrow night against the Cardinals.
Absolutely.
We're going to be right back to close this show up.
Bubba and Feet.
Hello, this is Chad Fowler from Fowler Mechanical. Whether you're a longtime customer or someone we have not had the privilege to serve yet, I want you to know we are here for all your residential and commercial heating, air conditioning, and plumbing needs. We have been proudly serving the Fort Recovery area since 2004, so give us a call at Fowler Mechanical and see what we can do for you. Fowler Mechanical. 419-375-2410.
Christmas is one of my favorite times of the year. Hi, I'm Steve Stone from Nature Screen. We will make everyone's Christmas merrier by decorating the inside and outside of your home or business. Me and my happy little elf crew would love to design a new theme, string your lights, decorate your trees, do all your Christmas decorating. We will put it up, take it down, and even store it for you. We're just a phone call away. Call me and my merry crew at Nature Screen Nursery in Fort Recovery and Salina. We will sing and whistle while we work at no extra charge.
Don't forget, Nature's Green gift certificates make great gifts all year long.
A family-oriented company.
The people are great.
We're rewarded for our hard work.
They help me grow, personally and professionally.
We have fun at work.
These are the things team members say about Cooper Farms. Cooper Farms strives to be more than a workplace to our over 1,900 team members. Find us on your favorite social media site today and apply at cooperfarms.com/join our team. You can also stop in and see us at one of our locations.
Here are the upcoming sports broadcasts on Fort Recovery Radio this week. On Thursday, the girls host New Bremen, JV game at 6 with the Fort Recovery Radio broadcast team, and we will simulcast WPGW's coverage of the varsity game with Rob Weaver and Jeff Hobb. Then on Friday, the boys travel to New Bremen with the JV game starting at 6:30. Both the JV and varsity games will be broadcast by Jeff Hobbs and the Fort Recovery Radio broadcast team. Saturday, the Indians boys host Jay County. We will be simulcasting WPGW's coverage of the JV and varsity games. This week, Tuesday, the boys host Arcanum, JV at 6. Thursday, girls host New Bremen, JV at 6. Friday, the boys at New Bremen, JV at 6:30. Saturday, the boys host Jay County with the JV contest starting at 6. As always, all those games can be heard live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
The halls with that's Nat King Cole. To be jolly. Hey, that was Brady Bunch versus
yeah.
What was that? Saturday Night Live.
Sunshine.
Yeah. You guys didn't see that.
Peter.
Peter Brady when he's having his voice.
He cried.
We're back here, Sports Talk, Wednesday night, beautiful evening.
Fired up about this weekend. We got a lot of basketball.
We got a lot of hoops. I love it.
Love it.
How about Jay County girl last night had 40?
Wow.
40. Coach.
That's big.
You're still here?
Fort Recovery girl, too, by the way. Mom was a Fort Recovery girl.
Joan Keller. I had a date with Joan.
Yeah.
Joan Keller. I'd date with her.
So is that why she moved to Indiana, Bob?
Probably. She's going to hell away from me. 40 points.
40.
12 of 17 from the three-point line.
40.
Wow.
Now, Sean's and Ray listen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
She's still in the game with a second to go, shooting threes.
see how she's one off the record. She got to shoot it.
They're up by 30.
Who cares? 13. Come on.
Hey, no comment.
Wait a minute. Patch took Greg out of the
Miss Cinewall.
I was going to kill him.
He could add under.
Well, actually, we let him stay in a couple possessions. And
by the way, he was 10 points short of the MAC record of all time.
No, I think he actually has it. If you, I think the Mac online or whatever has him down, I think has it.
The league score?
Yeah, no way.
If you check the record we have in our book with the Mac online, I think he has it.
Good job.
But the thing is
you guys do a little pencil whipping back?
No.
Whacked him.
Good job. Hey, here's the scorekeeper.
Whoa.
Hey.
You're looking
at it. Gotta do what we gotta do.
Whatever it takes.
We actually in a couple games like that, we left him in. And that was one of those things where Jeff would ask, how long you want to leave him in? I'm like, all right, we'll give him a couple chances. And he missed about three shots. All right, get him out. He can't do it.
Who's a better shooter, Pig or Greg?
Pig.
Ooh. You going on record?
Oh, yeah.
He's going on record.
Pig was a better shooter than Greg.
Shooter.
Yeah.
Not scorer. Shooter.
Shooter. Just straight up. So if them guys right now, your money's on Pig. Well, now it is. Greg's, he ain't shot ball.
No.
Nazarene Church.
Okay, are you playing the game of horse or are you playing a game of basketball?
No, horse.
Horse.
Better shooter.
So probably Pig, it sounds like.
I'd take Pig.
Pig, who are you taking?
Pig at you, but I'll take Greg.
What about a game of basketball?
Greg, that's no doubter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a no doubter.
Yeah. Yep. What about, you got a daughter that's eighth grader that's about, what, 5'10", 5'11"?
6'1".
6'1", somewhere around there. Potential?
Wow.
Some, 6'1",
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
She can just get some coaching.
Bad
that's
coaching.
All she needs. Yeah. She just needs some
bad
coaching.
Genetics.
Bad genetics. Bad genes. What was bad genes? Annie's got... If she gets Annie's athletic ability, she's got a shot.
If she gets her mom's toughness as far as being a killer.
Yeah. Clobbering people.
She could be.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She ain't got it yet, does she?
No, she has my niceness in me.
She has nastiness
in her.
She gets your mom's dancing? Dancing moves?
Annie Patch is the best dancer for
Stella. Right. Stella has.
Stella's got that. All right. That's perfect.
Hey, I always said that. Annie Patch is the best dancer. Yeah. We had more fun with her. God love her. We're back here after the break with Bubba and Fee here and Coach Patch. Talk a little bit about your stats. And you're led by Kendra. Kendra's your, but you got five girls that could lead you any given night in scoring. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think we have. I mean, I think so far.
Absolutely. I agree.
I think, you know, Saturday, Grace, I think, led us in scoring. We've had Kendra lead us in scoring. We've had Witt lead us in scoring.
I love Witt.
I think
she's athletic.
I think Carly has led us in scoring once. So at least in our first five
Johnson games. Johnson Geyser, don't count her out either. She's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Her she's potential is
yep, through the roof.
Off the charts.
Yep, through the roof.
Yeah. That's this team. If we, you know, depth this, is a question.
I think his team is.
But Patchy's been.
If they can get confidence. You know, right now you kind of watch some of them. They're lacking a little confidence. And I think
that's part of
the farther we go.
That's the part of the girl thing, too. You know,
they ain't got the swag. They ain't got the cockiness yet, but they'll get it.
And I think that's a difference a little bit with the girls and the boys. The boys, even if they didn't, if they weren't.
Oh, they're terrible. They still thought they were really good. Great.
Darian.
You had 2 points. Would you relax? You're not that good.
But, you know, and that's the thing. Girls will go out and make plays, and it's just like, oh, I'm so bad tonight. You have 20. You're not that bad.
No,
you know,
you're good.
And that's some of our kids. They just need that confidence boost. And so
a game like Riverdale, that's
right.
That might do it.
I mean, that and hopefully we can win tomorrow. That could be a big
That would be another. Too, that'd so. Be big.
What's your schedule look like? Then we got – people don't know this. Our girls' schedule
I got her.
Is a tough sucker, boy. Because South Adams, I think last time I looked was 11-0.
Yeah,
Jay County is about 10-2.
Yeah, and their one of their losses is they didn't have their whole team there.
So. Yeah, right. They lost to like Muncie Central or something like that.
Yeah, they were missing two starters.
And then
we got Greenville. You got Greenville's bad. Fan work.
Greenville's horrible.
Actually, Greenville's better than what they were last year.
Well, Jesus.
Is Rachel still there?
Yeah.
She'll make them better if they give her a chance.
Because they have some younger kids coming up that are
66-9. That's going to be the score of our game against Greenville.
Yeah, it'll be bad.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
66-9. Spencer, write that on that chalkboard.
I'm not writing that down.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Van Wert then on the following Monday.
Well, they got Wert. They beat us last year or not?
We beat them by one.
We got it.
Last second shot by Kendra.
Yeah, it was close.
Really? I was there. I kept book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't remember.
I was on FR radio. Yeah.
Was you?
That baby, I think.
Yep.
Kendra made a last second shot. Where was I at? Was it a rebound basket?
No, it was a
okay.
Frickers.
Bounce.
I was a Frickers, yeah.
Yeah.
Then our boys went to Lincoln View and got smoked.
Smoked.
That's right. Okay, so we got
Van Wert.
Van Wert. They're okay, right?
Then you go to Jay County.
Jay County be good.
Arcana. You talked to that
good.
Yeah, I was going to say, you talked to that.
He said their girls' team's pretty good.
They returned 2 nice players.
Yep. Where we play them at?
Home.
We got them at home.
All right, good.
Parkway, Upper Scioto.
They're good.
Good.
They're Division 4 team. They have 2,000 point scorers on their team.
What are we doing playing them?
Well, because they were in our super sectional when we were D4, so we were going to play them. And then
where we play them at?
We play them at home first.
All right, good.
We're coming home.
So that was one of those games to kind of
see.
For sales, South Adams. Both
for
away.
Sales, okay, we'll beat them.
Both away.
South Adams. That'd be a fun game to play. I like playing Stardome.
How about Coldwater?
Okay.
Minsta.
Real good.
Over there. Cinewa. New Knoxville.
Knoxville ain't bad. They ain't bad. They got a couple good players.
Tri-Village.
They're good, I'm sure.
They're always decent. Salina.
Good. Hyman Girl.
Got them at home. And St. Henry.
We'll kill them. I got us winning 8 games.
8?
That schedule. We got a tough schedule.
We do got a tough schedule.
It's not easy. You play the MAC and then a non-conference.
Jesus.
That schedule's a pretty tough.
Kurt Rambo is putting a terrible AD.
He's making us work.
The worst.
But when they get to the tournament, they'll be ready.
That's a good point. That's right.
We'll be dialed in. Playing patsies going into the tournament and get surprised when you get there.
We'll be dialed in.
We will be dialed. We'll be ready to go.
Hopefully we win more than 8 on that schedule.
I think we will, too.
I think you're a little off.
I'm going 18.
I'd say 18 sounds a little better.
Yeah.
That'd be good. We'd take 18 wins.
18 we take. We can get that, too.
Huh?
We can get that.
We can get that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can get 21. We've already lost 21. One, so we can't get 22. But
we could get 21.
That's a good point. Yeah, we could get tournament run.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Okay, I'm 27, 26.
Well, Coach, Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
Hey, thanks, you guys, too.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
You know what's neat is about 5 years ago, when we had the holiday break, we played one game. Now we're just playing games wide open.
Yep.
I love it.
Do we really?
Oh, man. Remember we... It seemed like we took two weeks off.
The one year we had a two-week break.
Yeah, we just shut her down for 2 weeks. Didn't
there was a lot of years we played either one or no games for...
We didn't play very many games. Now it seems like...
Depending on what day Christmas was, you just didn't play at all for 2 weeks.
Well, that and you added two more games. So a lot of people added those over the break because it's... You know, just like this last week, we played in 7 days. We played 4 games in 7 days.
We need to get a holiday tournament again. I'd like to play in a holiday tournament.
Well, the bad thing
boys
is,
boys or girls,
we don't want to go away because then you lose 2 home games and you lose gate and you lose all that.
We got
to
host it.
That's something we've actually, Kurt and I sat down and talked about trying to get something like that put together. So hopefully it works.
A holiday tournament?
Yeah. I like a holiday tournament.
It takes a lot of people to run that, but I think our fans would...
You know who would be a great sponsor for a holiday tournament? Fort Recovery Radio.
Yeah.
We're in.
FR Radio.
Broadcast all again. Kurt and I actually talked about having an Indiana-Ohio battle war. Try to get a couple good, really good teams from Ohio at any level and grab a couple good Indiana teams at any level.
Showdown.
And just have like a little Indiana versus Ohio.
I like it.
And then
Bud Mann referee.
Bud. He's over there right now. Yeah, come in.
He's at the bar right here.
He's at the bar right now, ready to go.
Be perfect. We're going to take our last break. We'll be right back. Bubba and Fee right after this.
Hastings Auto Sales is now under new ownership, but not with a new face. Carl is working on retiring, and Harold and Kim Feely are the new owners. Harold has over 30 years of automotive experience. 20 of those are at Hastings Auto Sales, so the faces will be the same. The same trusted name, the same high-quality used vehicles, the same professional vehicle repairs, just a new owner, so Carl can finally slow down a little after 40-plus years in the auto repair and sales business. Stop by and check out their selection of used vehicles. And if your current vehicle needs some attention or just an oil change, call for an appointment at 375-4617. Hastings Auto Sales. Nothing's changed but the owners. It's still the same great professional service you've trusted for 40 years.
Holiday decorating at its finest. Be sure to stop in Forget-Me-Not Florist for all your holiday decorating needs. Silk arrangements, wall decor, holiday gifts, candy, poinsettias, and more. Forget-Me-Not Florist, where beautiful holidays begin.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canope from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery. K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery has a tractor that is an absolute driving pleasure. The New Holland T8 Series tractor. It's the smoothest, quietest, most spacious cab in industry. You get fingertip controls from the award-winning Sidewinder 2 console and a 360-degree visibility. And the unprecedented 11-foot, 4-inch wheelbase provides smooth, superior performance in the field and on the road. Discover the ultimate place to work. The New Holland T8 Series tractor. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today.
The Fort Recovery Student Council and FBLA student organizations are working to raise funds to support local families during the Christmas season. Beyond selling pies and desserts, the Student Council and FBLA organizations are asking for your help to make this year's Adopt a Family project a success. Within the past 2 years, we have helped 31 families and counting. If you would like to make a donation, please contact Matt Kearns at 419-375-4111 or at his email, kearnsm@fortrecoveryschools.org. Thank you.
See more swine and the squealers.
You're going to love it.
Just play it?
Okay.
My favorite Christmas song.
Awesome Christmas.
Seymour Swine and the Squealers.
And the Squealers.
You got this, Chuck?
Evity.
Can't go wrong with that. Hummer Bud.
No, you can't. You ever heard of this one, Patsy?
No.
It's a great song.
Right, here's my favorite part. What happened today on the radio? We couldn't get working?
Oh, I don't know.
Neil screw something up?
Probably.
We're 50-50 on Wednesday night every week.
If you never you're going to take classes on Wednesdays?
Yep.
Oh, we're dead.
Show just
now we're 25-75.
To Tuesday. Yeah, we're going to Tuesdays.
We got to go Tuesday.
We can't do Mondays because I'm in class on Mondays also. So.
Oh, for God's sake. You got to give a shout-out.
Hey, yeah.
Shout-out.
We've shout-out to Jackson Hobbs.
Jackson Hobbs.
Jackson.
Ross Holman.
Rossi.
Will Holman.
Billy.
Billy Boy.
Jacob Holman and Ben Holman. Those guys have been coming in and practicing with us a little bit here and there.
What?
Yeah. So,
that's
a pretty good five right there.
That's pretty good competition.
So they've been coming in, practicing with us and helping us out and getting the girls prepared. And that was part of the thing I said earlier about the, you know, the group of kids right now at the high school really supporting each other. And they come in as our practice squad to go against. And so it's great when you have those guys in practice because the intensity in practice picks up and the girls get after it because, you know, they want to show those boys they can play.
Absolutely.
And the boys are there to help out and, you know, to get the girls better. So they're doing what we're asking to do and be players for us. So it's just, like I say, it makes practice better and it's making us better.
You know, we got a neat thing going through that high school right now. We got a bunch of great athletes. And now it's almost to the point where, you don't want to lose because you don't want everybody else being mad at you. All right. Goddamn, we're, you know, boys win state in football. Hey, we ain't going to mess around with boys in basketball. Girls are going to be tougher now. We got a great thing going right now.
Here's what I say. Here's how times have changed, okay? Because if I was in high school and we played the girls' teams, we couldn't do it. First of all, no. I'd be scared to guard a girl because back then you didn't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In our day and age, no way would play against girls' basketball team.
No. But you'd be afraid to get beat.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't lose. I wouldn't lose. First of all, our girls my senior year, Judy 10 sucked. Who else was on that team? Who was our senior? Our girls senior sucked that year.
Lisa Reynolds.
Judy 10 didn't play basketball. Kim Philly didn't play basketball.
Kim played?
Hell no. Seventh grade.
See? Who else?
Lori Granger. Kill you.
Lori Granger's pretty good.
She'd kill you.
Who else? Lisa Reynolds?
Lynn. Lynn would have been in
Lynn
there.
Langkamp. She
would have been posting on you wide open.
Oh, I'd have knocked her out. Who else was in there?
Actually, they weren't too bad that year.
No, I think that's pretty good.
They were pretty good. Lisa and Lori.
But my senior year, I don't think we had any girls play.
Ooh, you may not have.
I don't think so. Missy Yakish might have played.
Did she play?
I think she might have. Missy Yakish and Wendy Malloy.
Wendy Malloy might have.
Yeah. How about your senior year? Who'd you have?
Chris Toby.
Chris Toby.
Who else was there? We actually won the first sectional, and then we ran off about 15 in a row.
Did you have Julie Stevenson? No.
No. Connie Ranley.
Connie Ranley. Very good.
Connie Ranley would have been one.
Yeah. Connie Ranley. God, we're old.
Blast from the past.
We're old.
We are old.
We're very old. So the boys got a nice win last night, and they're 2-0. Yeah. They had a great win Saturday night at Shawnee. A game that was very – Shawnee's real athletic, got a real nice point guard.
Good player, don't they?
We made a nice comeback. Darian was tremendous. I think he had 20.
Yeah, he played tremendous.
Coxie had 18, but we made a nice comeback there. A lot of kids stepped up that fourth quarter.
Especially coming out of your first game.
Yeah, we didn't know.
Great practices.
Yeah, I tweeted out. We could win by 30 and lose by 30. I have no idea.
Yep.
But then and like Coach Patch said last night, you did a game on the air, I think, with how athletic our team is.
Oh yeah,
and they
we are. We got some good athletes.
Fun to watch. Right, I don't know how many games we're going to win.
Yeah, I have no idea either.
We'll win a lot.
Who will win more games, boys or girls, this year?
Could be a showdown.
Hopefully we tie and we both come home with state championships would be pretty cool.
I think that's a great goal.
I'm in.
I love that goal and two MAC titles.
Although, I don't know. After that football, that about killed me.
Anybody can't handle it.
About took me out.
And about wiped you out.
A lot of brain cells got beat up there.
Oh, I tell you, I watch that tape all the time. Yeah, I watched it tonight.
Oh, it's fun. I watch your timers all. Yeah. I love it. It's awesome.
It was. Wasn't that fun?
It was.
You ever seen an experience like that?
It is awesome.
Well, I think the great part was it was one of those things you could kind of see it in the works a little bit. You know, as the season progressed, it was kind of like, well, we might be pretty good, and you could kind of see it going. And, you know, each time you played, and it was just fun to see, you know, how Brent's taking that program and taking it from, you know, where it was kind of the laughing stock of the MAC and people didn't expect us to win games. And it was just, we got Fort Recovery, and to where now it's like, ooh, we got Fort Recovery.
Now we got Fort Recovery.
Now it's like, all right, chalk that up as a loss. And so, you know, he's just taking that program to new heights and has done a great job. And you know, it was just fun to see that and kind of see him be rewarded with all of his hard work and efforts and patience in over the years. And I told him actually afterwards, because Carly, his daughter's in our youth camp, and I talked to him afterwards, and I said, and he was picking her up one night, and I said, you know, Brent, the funny thing about that is, I said, you know, been around, you know, he and I have been the longest, you know, tenure coaches here at Fort Recovery, and so we've been together for a while, and he was on my staff for a year or two, and you know, I just made a comment to him. I said, you know, the funny thing is people now talk about, you know, how great you are, and giving you all kinds of praise. And I said, that's great, you know, deservingly so. But your message has never changed over the years you've been here.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, you've said the same things to the kids. And it's just now finally, you know, people realizing what you're telling them now because you've won. And that's kind of what it took for people to realize, oh, Brent's a good coach. I mean, the kids always knew he was a good coach, and the people who knew a little bit about sports and coaching knew he was a good coach. And so it was just nice to see him be rewarded with that. And I just kind of told him, I said, you know, I was just really proud of him and of the team. And just because now it's kind of, like I say, his message just kind of got out there now to where, like, people say, oh, he's a good coach. And like I say, he's always been a good coach, and he's had a good staff. And, you know, Block's been with him kind of like Jeff has been with me. And you know, so from that standpoint, those guys have done a great job. And so it was just nice to see them kind of get rewarded with kind of going through all those rebuilding years. So
sure is.
I got a tweet last week, and I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to because I love the kid. Mm-hmm. Adam Lefevre sent me a private message. Mm-hmm. And this was last Wednesday night after the boys left here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I didn't want to say anything about in front of everybody on the radio, but we wanted to win this for Brittany Camp. Because that me and Wes pretty had cool. talked about that we thought that if there's one guy that deserved to win this, it was Coach Niekamp.
Yeah.
And the whole, and he just, it was a long message, you know, and I was like, "Are you talking about a kid that gets it?"
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't. I mean, I knew who Adam LeFevre was, and I had, but man, am I a fan of him?
Big fan, is he?
Jesus, what a great kid!
Big fan.
He's having him in the classroom. I've always liked Adam. He's a great kid. You know, I've tried to get him to play basketball a couple years when he wasn't going to play, and not that he was great, but he was a good athlete, just a good kid, sports-minded kid, just a kid you love to have around. And, you know, it was just fun watching him have a good year, too, and have him succeed and have the success he did. And, you know, he also tweeted out the other day he didn't get into Notre Dame, too, which is their loss. But
yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, he'll go someplace. And you know, like I told him, it's
college, he's going to be college a success anywhere you, he goes. You know, no doubt about it.
You're going to make your experiences from college, and you know, he'll be another one that hopefully comes back to Fort Recovery.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And because he'll do the community really well when he comes back. So, good kid.
That's right. Well, that being said, Big Fee,
I'd say we shut her down, Bobby.
I'd say we shut her down, too. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Good show.
Yep.
A lot of
show.
Listeners again. 60-some listeners.
Yep.
He's got it. We are going to be on the air next week. We're going to have Googsy on before Christmas. Yep. You're going to be around, ain't you? You going out next Wednesday night?
Actually, I think my family's supposed to have Christmas.
Really?
It'll be interesting.
We'll get somebody in here.
We'll get something done.
All right, Wes Winning. Get Wes in here.
Yeah.
He'll co-host.
Hell yes.
All right, man. Bubba and Fee Show.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Take us out, Charlie.
On a green Christmas tree. It won't be the same there if you're not here with me. And when those blue, it's snowflakes, it's dark falling. That's the way when those blue, in memories, it's start calling. You'll be doing right with your Christmas up with you, up with your wife. It'll be put out. Ever be blue. Ever be a blue Christmas. Oh, baby, I'll miss you. Christmas.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, broadcasting live from the Miracle Lane Studios in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. Talk with Bubba and Fee was brought to you in part by community-minded sponsors and the sports department of this radio station. FortRecoveryRadio.com is the home of the Fort Recovery Indians.